Good morning. Happy Sabbath to all of you. I want to thank each person who is listening to our program today. We welcome you. And we want to begin today by prayer. And I would invite you, if you're not driving, to bow your head and close your eyes with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the many blessings that you give us. And today we're praying for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide us through this study today. We pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom and understanding, and that we might be able to see you in all of your glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. We had for our text today from Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And the word unity here stands for that which gives us harmony and great strength. It means oneness, atonement. It brings us into unity with God. In Luke chapter 11, verse 23, Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me." And I would like you to, if you will, turn your scriptures today to Matthew chapter 12, and we're looking at verse number 25. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25. So if you have your scriptures with you today or your electronic device that you're comfortable with, I'd invite you to follow along as we read. And this is coming from Matthew chapter 12 and beginning at verse 25. Jesus knew their thoughts and he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself cannot stand." Now that goes for every family, every church, every city. When it's divided against itself, it cannot survive. It can't last. There has to be unity, and it is the unity that gives power and strength to the church, to the family, to the community. And God wants us to be unified. In fact, we read from Ellen White's writings where she says, in these last days, as we see this great controversy being played out around the world, that we should press together, press together, press together. There needs to be unity in our churches, in our homes. And God wants it to be in our community and in the world. And guess what it'll be like up in heaven? Everybody up there won't have a separate song, a separate psalm that they're thinking about. Everybody won't have an individual belief, and everybody won't be this individual little unit. We're all going to be in unity in heaven. And God wants that for us down here on earth. You believe that? And it is the devil that comes into the situation of people's lives that create division, that create this disunity that often destroys many churches. And you see churches that are separated from each other because inside the church, oftentimes the devil gets the upper hand and causes disunity in the church. And the churches separate and split. That's not always bad, because sometimes it's better for the church to split than it is to have the church in turmoil and chaos and not bringing honor and glory to God. But God is calling for unity. There is unity in heaven, friends. Between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are unified. And the angels contribute to that unity by trying to draw this whole world into that unity that is in heaven with God. You know, you look at a rope or maybe a metal cable, and you see that one strand of that rope or that cable is not very strong. But when you look at how it's twisted together, all of those strands make it extremely strong. I mean, that's what holds up the Golden Gate Bridge in California, isn't it true? The enormous cables that all these little strands twisted together in unity, holding together the strength that takes to hold up that bridge. And I believe that it is necessary for us as God's people to draw together so that each one of us, maybe we're a little weak in some areas, but strong in others. And as we draw together as God's people, friends, we become strong in Jesus. I believe this is true of God's people, because united, we are strong. But when we start letting the devil come into our home and into our lives, and into our churches, into our communities, we become weak as water. God wants us to be strong. And I can tell you, friends, we can open up our life to a lot of things that create a lot of disunity in our homes and in the church and in the community. As pastors, we sometimes have to deal with demon possession. It's frightening to think about how many people in our communities, in our churches, are not only possessed, but being used as an agent of Satan. The disunity that causes, and all the havoc it wrecks in relationships. And it happens more often than we care to admit, about how the devil plays as an agent with the people inside of churches and homes and communities. Look at the evil that is all around us everywhere we look. Look at all of the tragedy that strikes everywhere we go. It happens because the devil is still alive and he hates every one of God's people. He's not your friend and he's not mine. The devil hates you and he knows exactly where you live. He knows your telephone number and he knows everything about you. And he's going to do everything he can to destroy you and the unity in your home and in the church and the community. But God is calling for us to press together as God's people in these last days. It's tough. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better until we get in heaven. And I'm longing for that day, aren't you? When Jesus will come back to this earth and take his people to heaven. But there must be unity among God's people today. That is where we find our strength. When we are one with Jesus as he is one with the Father, then there is unity in the church. God wants us to press together. We all come from different backgrounds. We all have different economic levels. We all have different social standing in the community. Every one of us are different. We have different thoughts and feelings and ideals about things. But we don't have to be uniform. We're like robots walking through this world. God wants us to be unified in what we believe and how we act. God wants us to look like Jesus. Do you agree with that? He wants us to live like Jesus would live. He wants us to act like Jesus. There must be unity, friends. If not, the devil can overcome us and take us at will. He is way too strong for us to be able to fight him. Unless we're unified with Jesus, we don't have any strength to fight the devil off. We need Jesus, and we must be one with him so that we can have the strength to fight the devil. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, at verse number 10, and I hope that you'll turn with me to this text. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, at verse 10, Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Unity. That's what needs to be in the church. That's what God loves, is when he sees us unified, believing the same things. There is no excuse for Christians around the world to everybody have a different, separate belief and theology. This is only one Bible, one set of truth that God has given to the world. All of us, if we believe in God and we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and lead us, we should all be believing the same thing about God. Do you agree with that? There shouldn't be all of these divisions. Why are there so many denominations in the world? Why are there so many people that everybody you talk to has got their own belief about the same issue? We need to be praying that the Holy Spirit will bring us into unity with the Father through Jesus Christ. We need to have that unity of belief in what God is teaching us from his word. I read from this Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5. The topic here is Christian unity. And on page 236, in the second paragraph, it says, "Union is strength. Division is weakness. And when those who believe present truth are united, they exert a telling influence. Satan well understands this. Never was he more determined than now to make of none effect the truth of God by causing bitterness and dissension among the Lord's people. If our characters testify of the truth's sanctifying power, we shall be a continual light to others, living epistles, known and read of all men. We cannot afford now to give place to Satan by cherishing disunion, discord, and strife. That union and love might exist among his disciples was the burden of our Savior's last prayer for them prior to his crucifixion. And with the agony of the cross before him, his solicitude was not for himself, but for those whom he should leave to carry forward his work in the earth. The severest trials awaited them, but Jesus saw that their greatest danger would be from a spirit of bitterness and division. Praise God that he has warned us about what the devil would try to do to the church. Because, you see, in the Old Testament, if you understand how wars were fought, oftentimes a great army would start to attack a city, but what they found out is that if they just send a small group of people up to the city and get the city to open up its gates and start chasing that little group of people, then they would come back and draw them into the center of a larger group and they would destroy them. Napoleon understood that real well. He knew how to divide and conquer. He knew how to be able to separate large groups of armies into smaller groups, and then he could conquer them. And he became very successful because he followed the biblical model of warfare. Guess where he got that? That's how the devil does too. He comes into our homes, into our lives, into our churches, into our communities, and he starts dividing us. And when he does that, friends, he begins to overcome us. And we have no strength to fight him. And unless we are one with Jesus, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit living within us, friends, we have no hope of ever overcoming the devil. He can take us at will. He's like a roaring lion, ready to devour every one of us, and we need Jesus to protect us from that. You wonder why there's so much strife inside of families, and why so many churches separate and divide and start new congregations? It's because they have not been in one accord with God. They have not been one with Jesus that brings them in unity with the Father. There needs to be this oneness, this atonement, this unity with our Father in heaven. It can only come through God, through Jesus. And listen, friends, God wants that unity more than we realize. Look what happened when that disunity took place up in heaven. And a third of the angels, along with Lucifer, got cast down to this earth. And he has brought that same disunity into this earth. And we see strife and tragedy everywhere he goes. And too often times, as Christians who read the scriptures and who have the knowledge of past history and how the devil has worked so successfully, and yet we fall into the trap and allow him to overcome us so easily. I challenge you today. Come to Jesus. Strengthen your unity with the Father through Christ Jesus today. And in doing that, friends, you'll find unity in your home, and there'll be unity in our churches. And when we do that successfully, there'll be unity in our world. And I know that's a big project, that's a big dream, but that's a dream that God has, that we would be unified, one with Jesus as he is one with the Father. That's what he's calling us to, is unity. This message of this gospel of Jesus Christ, friends, is the message of calling every man, woman, and child around the world in these last days to come into the remnant church and become a part of that unified group that is making themselves ready for the coming of Jesus. We need to be prepared for the return of the Lord. We never know how things will go. I was speaking to a woman here recently, and I was talking to her about how life is so short and fragile, and how sometimes it gets snuffed out pretty quickly. And sometimes we're unprepared for the events that happen in our life because God has spoken to us and we have not taken the opportunity to capitalize on those blessings and gifts that God has given to us. And we oftentimes don't follow through with the truths that God has revealed to us. And because of that, God doesn't give us more truths. And oftentimes tragedies strike before we have an opportunity to follow those truths that we know were there. I want to challenge you today that if God has been revealing something to you through his word or through the Holy Spirit, or maybe some messenger that God has sent to you, I would challenge you today to prayerfully consider all the truth that God is revealing to you, and that you follow it faithfully. This person I was speaking to, I pleaded with this person in the office to accept Jesus, to make Jesus the center of their life. And they would not do it. Kept putting it off. And I found out that on the way home that evening, that they were going through an intersection and someone ran a red light. It almost hit them in a T-bone. But yet, to my knowledge, they haven't made that profession of faith in Jesus. Friends, what would it be like to die without Christ? There are too many people around us, in our families, in our churches, and out in our communities, that are going to their grave without Jesus. And God is calling for us as His messengers to give this message of hope, that Jesus loves us, that Jesus is going to come back someday and take us to that great heaven that He's prepared for us. In Testimonies for the Church, Volume 8, page 132, it says that you will meet with trials, but hold fast your integrity. Never show anything but a noble spirit. The heavenly universe is watching the conflict, and Satan is watching, anxious to catch you off your guard, anxious to see you act impetuously, that he may obtain the advantage over you. Fight the battle of the Lord. Do just as Christ would do were he in your place. Let there be no inconsistency in your faith or practice, and do not allow yourself to become wrought up over the vexations, troubles that are constantly arising. Keep calm. Think of Jesus. Do what you can to please Him. The grace of Christ and the Holy Spirit are God's gifts to you, that you may be strengthened with all the might in the inner man. Peter spoke about this issue, about how the devil brings trouble into our life and destroys the unity that we often have with the people we care about the most, destroys unity that we should have in our churches, destroys unity within the communities in which we live. In 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse number 12, Peter makes these statements here. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. And let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Praise God for Jesus. Thank Him today for everything that He has done for us. And during this holiday season of Thanksgiving, I pray that it won't be just about the turkey and the food that we'll eat, but it will remind us of all of the great gifts that God has given to us throughout our life, throughout this past year, that it will draw us together with our families in unity, and that it will draw our churches and our communities in unity with Jesus. That's the prayer that Jesus had for His disciples, that all of His followers down through eons of time would be drawn into unity with Him as He is with His Father. There's so much division in our world today, so much strife, so much evil that is happening. God would like to put an end to it. There's no politician that could ever end all of the chaos and evil and disunity that's in our world. No matter how hard they try, they cannot stop what's going on. In most cases, they make it even worse. But there is coming a time, friends, when Jesus will come back to this earth, and he will bring peace and joy and happiness that we will enjoy for a lifetime. Throughout eternity, we will be with Jesus in heaven. And there will be no more of this chaos, no more of this disunity and strife and evil that surround us everywhere. It'll be a time that you and I will be able to be unified with the Father and with Jesus. Why not start today? Why not have that unity with him now? I believe that that's what God wants for us. Goodwill towards another is what helps bring unity within our relationships. It's the golden rule of Christian unity. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, you read there that statement that as we want to be treated, that's how we should treat other people. That's the golden rule. And I'm just paraphrasing that statement, but it's what God has planned for all of us. If we want to be treated good, then we need to treat others that way too. And I think all of us want to be treated well. If we possess true love in our hearts, we're going to have no difficulty living in unity with people around us. And I believe that's what our text today is talking about in Psalm 133, verse 1. Talking about us living together in unity and loving one another. Look with me, if you will, in 1 John 4:8. In 1 John chapter 4, at verse number 8, it says that he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. This is that love that draws us to Jesus, that love that draws us to him, that love that draws us into unity with one another. And the more we love Jesus, the more we'll love each other. And oftentimes, because we don't have that kind of brotherly love for one another, that we allow disunity to come in our relationships. And we allow the devil to get the upper hand. There needs to be a willingness on our part to make all of our interest subservient to the interest of the church. And this is one of the main elements of Christian unity, friends. Making sure that the interest of God take priority over everything else in our life. And too many times we put God on the back burner. And if we have some extra time, some extra energy, some extra something or other, we'll give it to God. And God is calling for us to make him first and foremost in our life. And when we do that, we'll be brought into unity with the Father. We need Jesus, because that's not natural for us as human beings. We need Jesus in our life. Where are you at with Christ today, friend? Is Jesus the priority of your life? Have you opened up your heart and invited Jesus Christ to come in as your Savior? Have you confessed all of your sin to him and asked him to forgive you and cleanse you through his shed blood at Calvary? We need God. And these days where hope is disappearing quickly because of all of the evil that we see around us, friends, we need some hope and encouragement today. And I give that to you through Jesus Christ, because that is where we find true hope and encouragement. Jesus is coming soon. Everything in this world points to that fact. And sometimes we get so numb to the sin that surrounds us that we don't even get offended by it anymore. Sometimes we get so numb to hearing we need Jesus, he's coming again, that we forget all about Jesus is really coming again. And we let down our guard, and we become more like the world than like Jesus. And I'm appealing to you today, whoever you are, wherever you're listening, I appeal to you today to make Jesus a priority of your life. And that you'll invite him into your heart and into your life and into your family and into your church, into your community every day. And that you'll make a difference. Jesus is calling for us to be unified. I believe that's what God wants for every one of us. You know how it feels in a family when there's so much disunity and strife? How many people are happy? How many people were really excited about that kind of strife and disunity? And yet sometimes when that strife and disunity is in our homes, it creeps into our churches, and then it creeps into our communities. And God's calling for us to press together. Press together. Press together. Let the love of Jesus Christ draw you to him. Let that love draw you to the Father. Let that love draw you to the people that you care about the most. And during this time of Thanksgiving, friends, May that love draw us to our families. In spite of the differences that we have, in spite of the different ideals and approaches to theology, may the love of Jesus Christ draw us together in unity during this time of Thanksgiving. We need the Holy Spirit. And this indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, friends, will lead us to Jesus. We need to have that Holy Spirit giving that unity in our life. I believe that there was unity in the because the presence of the Holy Spirit was at Pentecost. And at Pentecost, there was this Holy Spirit drawing all those people in that upper room together in unity. It became true of those group of people that they had great power on that day. And they went out into their communities and they gave the gospel message to the people around them. I believe that God wants to hear the prayers from his people. And I believe that he will respond to those prayers just like he did in the apostolic days of old. God is still alive. God is still present. God has not changed. God still loves you. And he loves your family. And he wants us to be together with him. And he wants our families to be in unity. And when our family is in unity, friends, it'll bring unity to our churches. When our family is in unity, we will have an impact of the community in which we live. And there will be unity there. We need to beware of the enemies of Christian unity. It was when Lucifer succeeded to create mistrust against God's government up in heaven in the minds of the fellow beings that he was with up there. It was then that he created rebellion in heaven and destroyed the unity and peace that God had designed for heaven. Satan will do his utmost to create disunity down on this earth, in our homes, in our churches. And he will weaken the church's bond of strength when we allow the devil to creep in. And listen, friends, I want to tell you that talebearers, gossips, meddlers, and other people's business is nothing more than an agent and a tool of the devil. And it has destroyed more relationships than anything else that I can think of. Sometimes as Christians, we think it's our spiritual gift to be able to gossip about others and to evaluate their ideals and their thoughts and their actions. God has not given that to any one of us. And the devil is using too many people as talebearers and gossips and meddlers in other people's business. And he uses them as tools in his hands to bring disunity in our homes, in our churches, in our communities. Wars are fought over these kind of things around the world. Be honest in your relationship to your brethren around you. Be honest, and you're going to build up a wall against the devil and his sneaky attacks. You've heard me say this before, that the devil wears a slippery suit, and if you're not careful, he's going to slip it on you. May we be close to Jesus today. May we be in unity with Christ. And through that unity, be drawn in unity with our Father. May that atonement be good for you. Praise God.